Blog Talk Radio.
Instruction of life, Torah Chesed, the divine instructions of kindness, and Tosfos Hachamim, the divine instructions of mercies. Before we get into the show, I think we have a caller here, so let's just see who it is, blessed souls. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 1-347-838-8669. Let's see who it is. Hello, caller.
Hello, hello, hello. Shalom, Don.
Mordechai Ben Mozi from California. Shalom.
California dreaming.
Well, we're going to be talking about streams of dreams tonight, blessed soul. And I just wanted to announce to everyone, I introduce my good friend out from California, Mordechai Ben Mozi. Anyway, we are now engaged in the 22nd class of Soul Class, which is an acronym for S-7-O, oldest original universal air laws, which are said the traditions were in fact divine in origin, originally transmitted to Adam Rishon, original man in the original Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, then retransmitted to his descendant Noach, the righteous Noach Ich Tzadik, who, upon going out of that ancient ark with his sons and their wives, which you can read about in Genesis 9:1, that all of them were blessed with the Mosad, so no one can curse them. And they were given 7 divine precepts, blessed souls, which are not to blaspheme the name of the Creator with his own name, not to commit adultery, not to commit idolatry, not to commit murder, not to steal, not to eat of a limb of an animal while it's still alive, and to resurrect and erect and construct righteous statutes all across the lands, these blessed lands and this blessed creation, for instance, to promote the ideas of tzedakah, charity, acts of righteousness, acts of kindness, support and sustaining all members of society. And blessed souls, now we're going to be talking tonight in part 4 of this idea of meditating. Meditation. Upon what do we meditate? Mordechai, what should we be meditating upon?
We should be meditate on the matters of the highest matter. Matters of Hashem, whatever matters to Hashem, it matters to us. Whatever matters to us, matters to Hashem. Connect.
Mordechai,
either way, many levels.
I don't mean to be rude, but I think we have David S. on. So let's see if we can bring him in. Hold on, Mordechai.
Awesome.
David.
Yes.
Shalom aleichem. I'm
shalom.
Mordechai Ben Mozi, and Mordechai Mozi is David S. from Brooklyn, and of course this is Don Zussi Goodman from Kessler Crown Heights. David, tonight's show, which is the 4th in a series of from Soul Class Meditation. What do we meditate upon? I just got Mordechai Ben Mozi's idea, and I'd like you to chime in with that. And then let's go into the preface of the classic work of the Rebbe, which is called, of course, Shal Yichud, the Gateway of Unity. David, what should we be meditating? We're about 3 days away from the new year, a new year in which a new light from the Most High, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, has never been revealed, now shall be revealed into the creation for each and every nation, soul revelation. David, what should we be meditating upon for this coming year?
Well, doing, you mean doing Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, for the new year.
Well, meditating, you know what it means. It means to contemplate. And as you said, a new energy light is going to reveal itself, especially when we're going to blow shofar. This is when we, you know, as the night of Rosh Hashanah comes in, the first night of the new year, the old energy, so to speak, goes back to its source. And by the morning, when we blow shofar, is when the new energy light comes down, which with, you know, an infinite possibilities, and we should be able to meditate on the fact that it's a new lease on life, so to speak, but not just like as a, you know, a continuation of from before. It's like literally it's a new year, and we know that we call it really in Hebrew the head of the year. I mean that the head should have another perspective, and the head should have clarity, and that clarity, you know, comes through having an understanding of who is God and what's the purpose of the creation. So it's just like a baby when he's born, he comes out through with the head first. You know, it's an old principle in Chassidus. So this is the when, you know, a new energy, meaning as if it is a new perspective, a new vision coming out of the head, coming out of somebody's mind. And that vision should be the vision of Mashiach and Geula, Mashiach and the redemption, and the revelation of really what it's all about, so to speak. You know, the world has been, at from time to time, a few revelations of godliness, which were, you know, afterward tempered by, you know, more darkness and more opposition to it. Of course, an embodiment to free will. But now it's about time that we see the purpose of all this. I mean, this is really, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us, since 1991, this is it. I mean, since 1990, actually, it's 20 years ago now, almost, that this is actually what we're meditating on, that our meditation should be on. And when I say, again, meditating, meaning not a mantra, not just a general idea, but really realizing, again, it's the head of the year, and from the head comes a new energy, meaning a new perspective, a new vision, a deeper vision, a greater vision, ultimately to the vision of the true reality that God is the inner life of this creation. And that right now we are ourselves asking God to open up our eyes, therefore open up our mind to see that true reality instead of that, you know, matrix that's playing in front of our eyes, that we're buying into it.
Well, one of the ways we can break through the matrix is learning the, you know, the gate of unification by the Mitzvah Rebbe, which hopefully now segues right into David. Mordechai, you're welcome to chime in as well, as David and I, you know, sort of like ping-pong with these concepts as presented to us by a direct descendant of King David and King Solomon, the Mitzvah Rebbe Dov Ber, who lived from 1773 until he went to the next level of life in 1827. So David, in the beginning of this, which is called Haggadah in Hebrew, the preface to the book, he talks about the essence of this pamphlet, which I think I mentioned last time we had the show. If anyone wrote like a pamphlet like this today, they'd probably get about five PhDs, but this is just like a mere pamphlet by a Rebbe, an Admor of Chabad. And he said it's speaking about the unification of divinity, of godliness, in each and every particularity in the order of the chaining down of the world. Why should we be concerned, David, about how godliness gets united in all the particularities, excuse me, in the chaining down of the worlds?
Well, because we'll have no sense of his unity otherwise. We'll have a sense that everything is completely disconnected, disunified. Imagine that if our human body wouldn't have a natural sense that everything inside of us is united, and the stomach and the digestive system and everything else works together in perfect harmony. Okay, that's a natural thing, that's a given by God. But here is the same process, that we have to unify the point to reveal, you know, the health, the inner health of this huge body, which is the creation and the life source and the health energy, which is God. So, first of all, we're going to, as we see the world, everybody's completely disunified. Tens of thousands of religion, social class warfare. Basically, it's been going on. It's a big circle that's been going on. Nothing has really changed. If you really look down, it's always been the same. The same ignorance, preaching ignorance, and the same idiots who are, you know, on top. So nothing has really changed in the world. And the point is that to get out of this vicious cycle, which is self-destructive, we're global warming, etc. We're definitely destroying the planet very fast, with no shame, just to make a buck, etc., etc. So this unity, when we say God is one, as we say in the Shema Israel, we say three times a day in prayer that God is one. Wasn't it God is one? People think it's one God. Good for him, you know. But as I said before, so there is one God, there's one chair, there's one table, and there's a lot of entities who are completely separated. And we all feel disconnected from one another to such degree that, selfishness is, I think, the key word of our generation, you know, because people feel disconnected. They don't feel that anything they do has any kind of effect on somebody else. So that's, you know, talking really in a very light term what it means to understanding the unity of God, because then you understand by the same token, a God works through your soul, or your soul works through your body, or your body works with the soul, and then you start. Basically, it's like a bunch of dots that are completely disconnected, and you connect the dots.
Right.
And you enable yourself to, you enable yourself to get out of this cycle, this matrix, like you were saying, this vicious cycle, which has always been the same. The rich is the rich, and he's always making more money, the poor is getting poor, and, you know, now we have the media make believe we have some kind of freedom, but they're manipulating any kind of decision that we want to make by bombarding us with all kind of, you know, distorted information, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, freedom. The only freedom, okay, is when you can free your mind for all and deprogram yourself, as quantum physics talks about. Quantum physics goes as far as saying, as what Hasidus and Kabbalah have been saying for thousands of years, that the person goes into a room because it's so programmed that he's used to see the same table as the same place and the same sofa at the same place. That's what he's going to see. But if he's able to deprogram himself, the object could be in a different place. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're getting to the fact that science is starting to talk this language too.
Sure, sure. So when we get into this whole idea of each and every particularity of the Chenya on the world, that represents a certain universe, but within that universe, David, we have what are known as the Esser Sfirot that manifest in something called the Abiyah, which is Atzilus, the world of intellect, or Yichelah, upper level unity, and then Bria, the world of thought, Yitzira, the world of speech, Asiya, the world of action. And I was just, you know, trying to think today about what would be a good way, David, to explain to our blessed soul audience about the whole idea of chaining down cause and effect. And the word that came to me, and I want to share with you, and then you want to chime in, Mordechai,
yeah.
This whole concept of metamorphosis, this whole idea of marked or complete change of character, appearance, and condition, or a change in form, structure, or function as a result of development specifically, which could involve the physical transformation, more or less sudden, which can be undergone by various animals during development after the embryonic state. So, you know, science can go back to the embryonic state and maybe a step before that, the point of conception. But after that, it's really all conjecture on the part of science, because the science is really not designed to observe the invisible. But yet we have the inner dimension of Torah, which talks about the cause and effect, the metamorphosis and the manifestation of ten sefirot in the world of intellect, thought, speech, and action. Whenever you like, gentlemen, like to chime in on this, you know, why Hasidus is coming to give a direction as opposed to conjecturing or coming to some sort of highfalutin ivory tower philosophy, which Hasidus is not. It's based on knowledge by people who basically gave up, sacrificed their lives in a positive way to apprehend higher levels of awareness of godliness. Anyone want to chime in on that?
I would like to. I just watched a video today, very interesting video about the intellect and science and Kabbalistic knowledge. Now, they all Kabbalists and the Kabbalists today are talking about that science is only just scratching the surface what really is. What really is, and the word is Hashem. So, I completely agree with this, and I would like to turn back to the divinity and Rosh Hashanah. You know, I would like to just connect the dots, if you guys don't mind, a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, when we blow the shofar in the beginning of the year, we start a cycle. And this cycle is also, on another level, is the cycle of Adam. When Adam left the Garden of Eden. And since that moment on, we are trying to get back to the unification, divine, back to our divinity of as human souls, as a human nation. We each and one of us are like a prince in our father's kingdom. We are leaving the kingdom to learn new trades, new wisdom, new philosophies, new understanding of Hashem, of our king, of our father. So as princes, we get all these knowledges during the year. And we are unifying all that we know, all that we learn. And by unifying this, we take it back to the end of the year, to the night before Rosh Hashanah. And it is when a cycle completes. And it is when our scientific knowledge, whatever we scratched off the surface on our weakling human three-dimensional existence, which is very important for a reason, because we wouldn't be in the bodies that we are in today, in this moment, in this precious second, we are still gathering scientific information from each other, word by word, and from science and from the word, from our own experiment. So we are gathering all this. We are unifying this, and it is all it is for the unification of a divine image back to the original man of Adam. We all desire that unification back to that state before we were, as humankind, being pushed out of the Garden of Eden. So we are getting back, and we are relearning the language at the night of Rosh Hashanah, when all the godly energies are pulled back and we go into a dreamer state. We become dreamers. The whole world is in a sleep. And when we awaken, it is when, and we blow the shofar. While we're blowing the shofar, we are awakening. And with this awakening, we unify everything and all, physical, spiritual, and mental, everything. Intellectually, we are entitled to feel excitement, emotion, just right now. Like now, as I'm feeling excitement and an emotional height of just talking about these matters. At the blowing of the shofar, everything comes back together, and the divine unification is at its highest point, and we can start a new circle.
Amen. Dave, would you like to chime in on that?
Sorry?
Would you like to chime in on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, what Mordechai said is, you know, right on target. This unification process that he's talking about is also going to the rest of the world. I mean, we're just not the point of unifying Hashem is also to unify the world, in a sense that the power of the energies that are released, you know, through intense learning and through the mind, have the effect, the Baruch really talks about this, have the effect to affect another person 25,000 miles, 100 miles away, with no awareness whatsoever, and you start giving them awareness from a distance. And that's the unification process. Till there be unification where we'll be able to talk from a distance, et cetera, et cetera, without needing any phone, actually. So that unification process is to bring knowledge to the world, because ignorance is our worst enemy, of the reality of God, and also another reality. A reality that God is not just a creator. that God is way beyond a creator, way beyond infinite, and therefore making us more humble and more grateful for this creation, which sometimes we lose sight of it because, you know, the darkness sometimes can just hit us in the face, but that's just, again, you know, a matrix thing. It's just a, it's not the reality, or the true reality. But you have to know that on Rosh Hashanah, this new, I mean, when, as Mordechai was talking about, when we blow the shofar, everything that he said was learned before, with this new energy light that never was revealed before, as we know, starting in Kabbalah and Chassidus, to be revealed for the year to come, comes back with this all encompassed, you know, this all knowledge which will affect the people. So again, you know, that's why we call it the head. I mean, the head is projecting. We know everything stems from the head. We know that 90% of diseases are psychosomatic, and we know that people make themselves sick without even realizing it. You know, and this is the doctor talks about it, positive emotion. I mean, everybody is getting into it whether they like it or not. If we could just change the perception, as the Rebbe says, all we have to do is to open up our eyes. And we know that the eyes is just a mirror. It's really the brain who's sending the information of what the eyes is seeing. And that's changing that perception, and that comes, of course, through knowledge.
Right. Let me go back to the point that I was trying to elicit from either one of you. The idea that Hasidus, Panimus, the Torah, inner dimensions of Torah, which upon which we are trying to learn how to meditate, do analytical study, again, inner understanding, is not some sort of philosophical conjecture, but actually the byproduct of these great teachers of Israel, and for all the nations for that matter, and knowledge that they access by, in fact, engaging in the process of this boldness, even going beyond the process of meditation. And they would just like to elaborate on why, when we talk about these matters, about the chaining down of the world and the particularities and unifications, in the world of intellect and thought, speech, and action, through the esospheres, we're not talking about conjecture type of philosophy, but actual knowledge. Would you like to comment on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't exactly understand your statement.
What I'm saying is that the Mittler Rebbe is saying that we want to make unifications, but unifications into what? Each and every particularity in the chaining down the world, in the esosphere, which I don't know if we're going to really, well, you'll have time to elaborate on that, but we can. Perhaps in short, you can talk about the world of intellect, which is atzilus, bria, which is thought, yisira.
Well, go ahead.
This is not philosophy. This is actual knowledge. How can we convey to the blessed souls listening tonight how these rebbes have actually accessed knowledge, and they're not just guessing this is how the creation is constructed?
Well, the only way to convey is to sit down and learn and check for yourself. There is no way, you know, Hasidus is definitely against speeches and TED Talks, which arouse just, some kind of superficial excitement, and after a while everything is gone and it's back to zero. The only way is to go, the meditation, Hasidus is not just sitting down and waiting for enlightenment, or waiting for some, light bulb to strike us, but it's just a deep, intense analysis on details. To convey that they're not speculating. Science is speculating a lot. It's a lot of speculation, and basically you can create a theory based on speculation. And you, just like Darwin, and you can sell your theory to anybody who find their agenda in that theory. But it's just intellectual speculation. Now, the true knowledge comes from the fact that, first of all, we have to understand how God has created from nothing something, and how, in order for us to relate to this, he created a system within it called cause and effect. But the creation is not a cause and effect. People, all of us, through our human mind and the human aspect of our soul, think in terms of cause and effect. The first point of Hasidus is to teach us that get deprogram yourself from that, and start thinking in a way, what we call in Latin, hex the illo, from nothing to something. Because when you get used to thinking to nothing to something, you realize that all the possibilities are into that nothing, and you can bring it to something. It doesn't have to be this way. You know, like they say, they make experiment. If you throw something like 100, 200 times, 300 times from a window, at one point, one time it's going to go up instead of going down. But because we're thinking cause and effect, therefore this is the cause, therefore here's the effect, we become slaves to that system of cause and effect, which is not the way God created the world. Cause and effect is just in a way for us to relate to God's creation in order to get to understanding. So, you know, yesh me'en, when we call something coming out of completely, utterly nothing. Nothing at all. Some people bringing it to a level of ethereal, you know, possibilities, not even that. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
And it's hard for us to imagine what is something which is absolutely, completely, utterly nothing.
Right, because every thought we have is a manifestation with our own awareness of something which in reality is nothing. So we have to overcome our human perception and nullify
right.
to a higher perception that whatever we perceive is really nothing, even though from the superficial or outwardly appearance, it is something.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because even let me find that one verse that's very important. You know, before, it was another reality before creation. It was not a three-dimensional reality that we are talking about right now. Our words are limited. We're speaking in a limited understanding. We're only speaking through a way that doesn't even have a weight up in heavens, up in spiritual realms, up in the realms of the righteous. Because before this creation had happened, the Creator, Elohim, Adonai, had consulted with the righteous souls. There was not nothing before the creation. There was something. There were already righteous souls within the Creator. So it is. I cannot agree with the concept of creating something from nothing. And I can somehow agree with cause and effect. But which matter are we talking about, cause and effect? Is it is only three-dimensional cause and effect, or it is spiritual cause and effect? Because
when we're saying something out of nothing, we're saying before any kind of thought of creation, way before what you're talking about, way before there was even souls. There was no people up there or some soul up there that God was hanging out with, you know, with and asking advice. Everything has been created by God himself, soul of the righteous, greater soul, little soul, people, anything you want, spheroids, olamos, worlds, out of absolutely nothing. Because we don't want to put limit God into the fact that it has, there was some beginning of something somewhere. The energy of God is called the Or and Sof, the light with no end. Okay?
So it
and
was
why
something.
Say no beginning?
It was something. I mean, if it came from God, God is already something. We cannot say that God is nothing.
Now, when we're saying God, you cannot say that God is something, because then you're putting into the word, you're trying to limit and put God into some kind of somethingness. God is beyond, remove something. Those are using human words to describe something which is beyond.
Nothing is also a human word.
Accordingly, which is limited. But there's a basic teaching in Hasidus and Kabbalah. It's called Yesh Me'en, meaning that the something came out of nothing, meaning that God didn't have to start working with elements. And you have to be very careful when you say creation, you're talking physical creation. I'm talking before even spiritual creation.
Uh-huh.
What
right.
we're saying is that
right.
God didn't have to have any kind of element in, you know, that was there, being spiritually very abstract, and work with them. He brought it out of himself,
mm-hmm.
What do we say, out of nothing. And this is constantly going. That's what I'm saying. You know, when we understand that every...
15 seconds, David. About 15 seconds to wrap it up.
Right. When we understand that the world is constantly, you know, and it's a very powerful teaching by Chabad, the Hasidus, going back to a state of nothingness to come back to a state of so-called physical reality, that means that why did God do it this way and not in the cause and effects, which would limit us to have access to God, that enable us to have access to God, which is beyond any kind of word, which be nothing or something or whatever you want to call it, to have access to the essence of God. That's a very, very important point.
General, when the show blesses us, let's continue. And I want to wish you both a blessed new year and everyone else. So everyone, take care, everyone.
Show. Very sweet
show
year.
Time.
Blessed new year, David.
Amen. To you too. Amen. Very sweet year.
Thanks.
Amen.
Your heart, Lord, I send me my